hope you enjoy listening to this weekly podcast from Lifeline Church. You can find out more and discover our other podcasts by searching for Lifeline Church, visiting lifelinechurch.co.uk, or by taking a look at our YouTube channel, Lifeline Church Dagenham.
So today we're going to speak about an amazing story. I think it's amazing for many reasons, but we will go as we go through the sessions. So the topic today is Jesus sees us. So now, do you believe Jesus sees you? Or have you heard about Jesus and you'd like to explore more today? And we must remember that when we go and walk with Jesus, we learn every day and we move from glory to glory. So it's never enough. You never have learned enough. So as long as we breathe, we can learn something new. So before we start, I'd like to share with you a story that is relevant to the teaching today. It happened very recently. I work as an advocate, so some of you may know. And as I was dealing with some challenging cases, I had this thought, nudge. It was about giving some money to somebody we know. And immediately, because I know the person, I thought, oh, he always needs money. So I kind of ignored. So now the person that God asked me to give money is somebody who misuses his finances or constantly makes wrong choices. He is Muslim by tradition, not really practicing, but when it comes to argue with me, he gets sometimes aggressive. But that's not the point. The point is that God spoke to me, and I thought, like, that's because he always needs money, and I moved on with my day. Then on Saturday evening, we decided to go to a restaurant. So we went to a Turkish restaurant in Wood Green. It was a very big restaurant, lots of people there, very busy, music, loud noise, all of this. So while we were having our food with my family, and Fikret was speaking about something very important, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said to me, you haven't given the money to the person, let's say person A. And I was like, oh, immediately. So I forgot what was happening around me and I said to Fikret, I know this has nothing to do with what you're sharing, but the Holy Spirit said to me to give money to this person. And of course, because he knows too, he was like, oh, really? And I was like, yeah. But because Holy Spirit was so real and so alive, I just couldn't even breathe. He was just like, and then thankfully he agreed. And he happened to have his bank details. So we sent the money into his account. I even know how much to send. So I sent into his account and then we continued with our evening. But just as I sent the money, I felt to pray for him. So we just there, right there, we prayed for him. And I just prayed that Lord Jesus, as he receives this money, he's going to see that, he's going to know that you see him. He sees that he's worthy in your eyes and he's going to feel valued. And then we sent the money, continued with our evening. We came home. At around 11:30 in the evening, he called Fikret. So now, as you know, Fikret is a man of few words. So he said to him, that's nothing to do with me, call Fatima. And then he called me. So we are in the same house, but in different rooms. So he called me and he said to me, did you send me some money? And I said, oh, so if you are calling me, that means you have the money. And he said, yeah, why did you send me the money? And I said, I just sent you the money. And he said, who told you I don't have money? So he was quite offended by, you know, the way he was speaking. And I say to him, I don't know if you have money or you don't have money. Nobody told me that you don't have money. Only Jesus said to me to give you this money. So I told him the whole story. And he kind of paused a bit and he said, oh, what do you mean Jesus told you to give me money? And I said, that's exactly what he said to me. And he stayed a bit and he said, are you sure nobody told you? And I said, no human voice spoke to me apart from Jesus. The Holy Spirit led me to do that. He stayed a bit and he said, oh, okay. And then after a while he said, well, I was very upset and depressed today and very discouraged. So I was sitting in my room by the time that I sent the money. So he said, I was sitting in my room and I just was speaking to God. And actually I was upset with him, saying to him, do you see me? Have you forgotten about me? Why everybody thinks I'm unworthy or worthless? So he went on and on and on because he was quite emotional at that point. And I said to him, wow, that's interesting. So that means Jesus sees you. He sees that you're worthy and he values you. And I say to him, I don't know what other people think. I never thought of you that. But just rest assured that Jesus thinks that you're worthy. Then I say to him, anyway, I did what God wanted me to do. So now it's up to you how you process it with Jesus. I gave the option. I said, you can call me. We can speak about it more. I can pray. I've never heard from him so far, at least yet. But I'm choosing to believe that Jesus sees him and Jesus has a plan for him. And if Jesus changed me or changed Saul of Tarsus, he can change that person too. And I'm just hoping that in Jesus' name, he will come to know Jesus and become his evangelist, his advocate to share the good news. So now we start with the session. We start with a series of Acts, and today we are going to speak about chapter 9. And as I said at the beginning, it is amazing story. It is the amazing Saul, who later becomes Paul. If for any reason I kind of mix the names, it is the same person. So I'll try to say Saul because it's only Saul in this chapter. Every encounter with Jesus is extraordinary. When we meet Jesus, it doesn't matter how or who, it is amazing and is extraordinary. But for Paul, it's something significant and different because of who he was and who he became, what God did through him. Because of his obedience and changes, we are today learning through that wisdom that God shared with us. So as we go through chapter Acts 9, we are going to learn a few lessons. There are many lessons, of course, because every time we read the Bible, something comes up. But today we will focus on how Jesus sees our struggles. He can see our worth. He sees our hearts. He sees our potential. And of course, it is only the Holy Spirit that can transform us. So let's start with a bit of recap, because sometimes it's important to understand where we're at. For some of us who don't know about the story of Saul, Saul is a young Jewish man who was born in a Jewish family. He's a Roman citizen and he became Pharisee. He lived in, if I can use this, he was born in Adanan, East Turkey, next to Syria. And then, of course, he must have been from a rich family because he moved to Jerusalem to study. He studied religion, Judaism, and he was graduated there. At the time of his graduation, of course, there was the movement of Christianity. So followers were growing, they were sharing the gospel, and this bothered Saul. Pharisees as well, but it bothered Saul probably mostly. And that's because sometimes if we see Saul from our eyes, we think like, oh my goodness, how bad he was, but God saw something different. So during this time, we know that is Stephen as well, the story of Stephen. So Stephen is the first martyr or evangelist to be killed. As it says in chapter 7, 58, they dragged him out of the city and stoned him to death. And then his accusers took off their coats and put it laid in front of a young man named Saul. So that means, although Saul physically did not stone him, he gave consent, so he agreed to that killing. He completely agreed with it. I think that teaches us a lesson that sometimes without actions we can sin. Is our lifestyle, our presence in somewhere where is not righteousness, if we keep silent, we are doing the same as Saul. Moving back to chapter 9 now, because that was chapter 7 and 8, and we speak more. So now, as I said, Saul was graduated in Jerusalem. He was very bothered because of how Christianity was spread and growing. And then at this point, you would have thought he felt sorry for Stephen because somebody died and he was present. But the scriptures tells us otherwise. From bad, he became worse. So at this point, he was thinking or uttering murderous threats. And he was eager to kill believers. So he went to the high priest and he asked for the letters addressed to the synagogues, asking them to cooperate with him so that he can drag all the believers of the way, that means Christians, women and men, to bring back to Jerusalem and put them in prison. So that was Paul's mission. So again, at first sight, everybody, when we read, or maybe most of us, when we read, we think like, oh my goodness, that's so bad, how could he do this? But we need to know that deep down, Saul thought he was doing the right thing. He did what he was taught. He studied. He wanted to serve God in his own way. So in his heart, he thought he was serving God. He was stopping something wrong because he thought that was wrong. So we see here that Saul was struggling. And the struggle was between his mind and his heart. So there is the part. And a religion had come in between his mind and his heart. I think, of course, Saul's story is extraordinary, but I can relate a little bit to Saul because I was brought up in religion. And when I read the Quran, it was personal studying. It was not like this big studying like Saul did. I remember when I read the Quran, although I disagreed with some of the points in the Quran, I was terrified. I was like in a prison of my own thoughts. I was afraid to even disagree or speak out because I thought God can any time just kill me. That's how afraid you are. So it's quite difficult for Saul as well at this point. So in one hand, we have Saul, who is struggling to do the right thing. Of course, he thought he was right. And on the other hand, we have believers. They're afraid, they're running away from Saul, of course, and they didn't know what to do. So they're just kind of hopeless at that point, I guess. But that, just at the right time, Jesus came through. Neither Saul nor the believers would have thought that this help will come that way, because they never thought Jesus is going to rescue them through the very man who was trying to kill them. And then for Saul, he never questioned his beliefs because he thought he was doing the right thing. So it's not like he sat there and he reflected and repented and prayed and then Jesus came. Absolutely. Jesus came because he knew Saul was misled. So sometimes it's important for us to understand that even if we do something wrong, and maybe we are quite sure that we are doing the right thing, Jesus can come for us too, and he can direct us and point us to the right person, to the right place, to the right way, because that is his heart. So, are you struggling at any point? Is your struggle internal or could be external? Internal struggles sometimes are within us, like Saul had, and nobody will see it, and maybe even us, we can't recognize it. But the good news is that Jesus can see through. And it's very important that if we are struggling with rejection and forgiveness, finance, toxic relationships, whatever it is, Jesus can deal with that too. It's important to understand that, as it says in Proverbs 15, Lord sees good and evil. His eyes always are watching us, watching everything and everywhere, so we are not on our own. Often we think struggles are, you know, like everybody's, of course everybody's struggling and we're so afraid to speak up. But I think I like to speak with our young people mostly, but not only. Because sometimes they struggle in silence. And of course nowadays technology has advanced and it's so difficult to catch up for us that are more old or older. And then maybe they are kind of in that prison of thoughts, thinking nobody hears us, understands us, this is too different, the timing is different, and of course it's different. As I said, I work as an advocate, and sometimes I do work with young people. So I was speaking to this young person who is struggling with his mental health issues as well. Quite a devastating story, to be honest. He's 17 years old, and as I was speaking to him, I say to him, are you able to speak with anybody about your life? He said, well, it helps because my mom is a psychotherapist, so I do share with her sometimes. And I said, oh, great, that's lovely, so you can share with her. And he said, some parts, I can't really share everything with her because I don't think she can manage it. So he was quite emotional, and he said to me, I can't share with her what I'm thinking or what I'm going through or what I see. I just can't share with her because it's too big for her. And as I was looking at him, I said to him, "Like, that's so true. That's so true. It's too big for a human being to carry some stuff. And I think I agree with you." And he was like, "Oh, yeah, so you agree with me?" And I said, "Yeah, of course, I do agree with you." And I say to him, "I believe in Jesus." And sometimes, because as adults, even us, we struggle sometimes to cope with those things. And when I find something that is too hard for me to bear, I pray, and Jesus comes and helps me. So I had this conversation with him, and he looked like he was very excited. But I think the point is here that even for our young people, for you guys, if you feel that your parents don't understand you, and probably they don't, or your adults in your life can't understand you in what you're going through, Jesus can. No matter what you speak to him, he can understand you. He can see through. He knows exactly what you're thinking and how you're acting. I told you about the story of that person. I didn't know he didn't have money, but Jesus knew. So it's very important that at least you speak to him, and then he will speak into your heart and into your spirit and lead you to the right person. So don't stay in silence, because that's not right. This is not what God has for us. Often you can people in general, not only young people, but mostly, they can suffer with anxieties, peer pressure, social media, body shaming, sometimes it's substance abuse, or academic challenges. So either, if any of these or something else is bothering you, please do speak to Jesus. What is important is that Jesus, if we go back to the story of Saul, and of course it may relate to us as well, if we look what Jesus does, he doesn't focus in our wrongdoings, in our mistakes, how much we messed up. He doesn't focus on that. He focuses in our hearts. He sees what's going on for us. Like with Saul, he saw that Saul was misguided, so he saw his heart. His heart was to serve Jesus. And that's why Jesus, in his grace, came and rescued Saul. So Saul was in the mission to go and persecute believers. In his way to Jerusalem, a bright light, according to the scriptures, that is in verse 3. It's not up there, but I'll just summarize it. A bright light from heaven shone around him, so he fell to the floor, to the ground, and a loud noise said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Shocked, he says, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus replies, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now, get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." So you see here the conversation. Saul was struggling. Jesus came, revealed himself, and brings revelation. He is not feeling sorry for Saul, saying like, "I know you didn't know. I'm sorry. That's fine. You're forgiven." He is direct. He brings the truth, brings revelation. He says, "Why are you persecuting me?" Calls him into account. And then Saul's surprised, thinking, "I'm not doing anything to you. I'm just persecuting Christians." And Jesus says, "I'm Jesus. You're persecuting me." By persecuting Christians, he actually was harming God. Although Saul had good intention, we understand from the story that having good intention is not enough to serve Jesus. Sometimes we can have good heart, good intention, and yet make wrong choices or moves. What we need is an understanding, a revelation from Jesus. So, as we see here, Jesus is revealing to Saul the truth. Saul is shocked, surprised, because he thought he was loving Jesus that way. And sometimes we may struggle to show our love to God. But Jesus has always, as always, he gives us instruction. In John 13:35, he says, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." So if we want to love Jesus and express our love to him, we can love one another. And I'm sure loving people is very difficult. But it's difficult for Jesus to love us too. And yet he does anyway. So we can do it with his help, through the Holy Spirit. Because in our power, we cannot do it. You know, I use myself. When I've got here, John and Dawn, how many times I've just messed up and argued, thinking I have the right way, or thinking I know what I'm doing. But yet they loved me, because they saw something more than I could see, and they had God's love in them. and that's how they could love me. So next point is Jesus instructs Paul. So you know, when Jesus meets with us, he doesn't just say like, this is the truth, now go on and live your life. He actually instructs us. And here, he met with Saul, and he's telling him what to do. He says, now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. So Saul continues in his journey, going to the city, Damascus. But until we move there, I would like to ask ourselves as well, like when you met Jesus, did he give you any instructions? Or do you remember the instruction he gave us when we met with him? Because sometimes instructions are individually, and we've got a corporate one as well. I know everybody must know, but oh, maybe you will know, but I'm going to remind us anyway. So the instruction that Jesus gave us is the Great Commandment, Matthew 28:19-20, where Jesus says, like the moment we meet Jesus, this is our great privilege, and he says, go therefore and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them all the instruction I have given you. And he says, remember that I will be with you always till the end of the world. So do we see here in this little paragraph, he gives us so much wisdom. So for those who may get confused, like making disciples, it's no big deal really. You're just sharing the good news. A disciple is a learner, a follower of Jesus. So when you meet Jesus, you can just tell them, oh, like the woman at the well. She just went back saying, oh, Jesus, I've known somebody who told me everything. So this is how we can start. So Jesus first, he instructs us, commands us, go and make disciples. Then he tells us what to do after we make those disciples. He says, baptize them and teach them the right way, the way that I've taught you. And then he knows we are so afraid, and he knows that persecution exists or may exist in the world. So he encouraged us by saying, remember that I will be with you, so you're not going to be alone. So the next time you go to your colleges, universities, workplace, when a coworker speaks to you, know that they're not only speaking to you, they're speaking to Jesus. So don't feel afraid to answer, reply, tell them, give them an answer, because it's not you who is speaking, it is the Holy Spirit through you. So you have enough to share with them. And the main thing is that you don't share about yourself, because that's what makes me happy. I don't speak about myself. I speak about Jesus, and he's just perfect. So why does God need us? God can speak to everybody and anybody like he spoke to Saul. He doesn't really need us. He's got enough power. But he wants to work with us and through us because he sees us worthy of his love, like he saw Saul worthy of his love. And he came and met with Saul. So while Saul was now, Saul met with Jesus. Jesus revealed himself to him. Just going back to the story. So Saul was in his way to Damascus, but when Jesus spoke to him, the light went off. Saul became blind, so he couldn't see anymore. So people, his companions, were surprised because they heard a loud noise, but didn't see anything or didn't understand what was happening. All they saw was Saul became blind. So they led him by hand, as it says in the scripture. At the same time, God is making provisions. So God speaks to a man named Ananias. He is a believer in Damascus. And God speaks to him and says, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replies. And then Jesus says, go into the straight street, house of Judas. And he says, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He's praying to me right now, and he says, I've shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming and laying hands on him so that he could see and regain his sight. So we see at this point that Ananias is shocked and thinking, Saul? Wow. So he's so surprised, and he says, but Lord, I've heard so many people speaking about the terrible things that this man has done in Jerusalem to the believers, and he is coming now, authorized by the leading priest to come and persecute or put in prison all the people who call upon your name. And then Jesus replies, go, for he is my chosen instrument, and he will take the good news to Gentiles, their people, their kings, and the people of Israel. And then he says, verse 16, like, I will show him how much he'll suffer for my name's sake. So that is the conversation that is going on with Ananias and God, Jesus. So I think if we read in this conversation, it's so interesting because Ananias was a believer. And probably that was his job, to tell people and bring people to Jesus. And yet he's shocked and surprised, like, even Saul? And sometimes we can have this reaction. Without knowing, we can disqualify people from probably family members, friends, colleagues. We can think they're too far gone. I don't think God is going to meet with them. Because we see through our eyes when we make those judgments. We see their past. We see their mistakes. We may see, or we can have prejudice. We see how they talk, how they walk. But if we do that, we are failing to do God's work. Amazingly, Ananias does the right thing because, as we see later on, although he's shocked at first, he chooses to obey Jesus anyway. I think it's important to understand because sometimes we not only disregard others, but we can disregard ourselves. We can see ourselves as unworthy of God's love. And that can happen for many reasons. Sometimes, even when we meet Jesus, we don't deal with our past. And our pasts can become a stumbling block between us and God. Sometimes, and that can happen for many reasons, maybe we had or you had a difficult childhood. I had the same issue. And we can fail to hear the truth. All we can hear is, you're not enough. You'll not succeed, you'll fail, or something like nobody wants you, and you can start end up feeling rejected and rejected and continue living that way. I think it's very important to understand that when Jesus comes into our life, he sets us free. And if for any reason any of you is feeling like, I don't feel enough, I'm struggling, I don't feel worthy, don't feel embarrassed, either if you've been in church all your life or you just came in today or recently. Because Jesus sees through us and nobody will judge you for speaking the truth or asking for help. And if somebody judges you, it's their mistake because they are sinning. Judging is sin. So rest assured that God will support you through that. It's very important that we don't allow this, because those thoughts can come if we have been or are in toxic relationships as well, and we don't know how to deal with those issues. And all we can hear around us is negative words about ourselves, and without knowing, we lose confidence in who God has called us to be. So don't allow that to minimize and make you feel unworthy. Because if you're here today, that means you're worthy. I'm worthy because Jesus saved me, not because I am good. And Jesus has saved us for a reason, because he saw potential in us, just like he saw potential in Saul. So Saul was criminal by heart because he wanted to kill Christians. And yet God did not see him for who he was. He saw him for who he will become. So he saw potential. And I'm so grateful, because if Jesus didn't see me for who I was, for who I will become, I would never have been saved, because I was such a mess. But Jesus saved me, and Jesus saved us. So that's why it's an encouragement to know that Jesus sees potential in us. He sees potential in you. Back to the story of Saul in verses 17 to 18. Now that after Ananias had that conversation with Jesus, he decides to make the right choice. He obeys Jesus, and he goes to meet with Saul. So he enters the house. And just like Jesus said, he lays his hand upon Saul and immediately accepts him by saying, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who spoke to you in the way here, he has sent me so that you will be, so you will receive sight, and you also will receive the Holy Spirit. And according to the scriptures, immediately something like scale fell off his eyes and Saul could see again. And it says that he got up and he was baptized. You see how amazing? Ananias had his doubt at first, but then immediately accepted Saul. It wasn't easy because he was afraid of Saul. Saul was chasing them. and yet he chose to believe in Jesus and accepted him fully. But it wasn't Ananias who transformed Saul, or Saul himself. It was only the power of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, that transformed him. And when we are transformed, transformation leads to action. So if we meet Jesus, or when we meet Jesus, we cannot remain the same, because we're not the same. We have the revelation of the truth in us. Back to the story of Saul. So as I said, immediately, as Saul, Ananias prays for Saul, something like scale fell off his eyes, he could see again, and according to the scriptures, he got up and he was baptized. He had something to eat, regained his strength, and then started preaching the good news. Can we see here the actions that Saul is taking? He met Jesus. The first action was being baptized. And then he started sharing the gospel, started sharing Jesus. So why baptism? Why is it important? I'm not going to go into a long or details because it's a long topic, but briefly, 2 points. Baptism is important because Jesus commands us to do it. He wants us to do it. So it is obedience to Jesus and being baptized. And we need to know that in the Bible, Jesus himself, although he was without sin, he was baptized as an act of obedience. He went to the Jordan River and was baptized by John the Baptist. And also he requires us to be baptized and baptize others as well. As it says in Matthew 28, go and baptize others in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it's act of obedience. The second point is important because it's a public declaration. So you're publicly declaring and committing that you've made a decision to change yourself, to change your life around, to trust in Jesus, and to make him Lord of your life. So that's commitment. You're just telling others, if I can simplify that, I'm proud to follow Jesus. So that's why it's important. If you want to know more, come and speak to me after the service or go and find Richard Griffin. He will tell you all about it. And the second point is sharing Jesus, preaching. And we spoke earlier. It's very important that when we know Jesus and we've got something, we've got the good news, share it, because others need to know. We come back to the point of free will. If we, as we followed Saul's story, we saw that Saul was misguided and he was killing Christians, but Jesus saw his heart and Jesus changed him. But now, Saul had a part to play. He could have chosen to remain as he was and say like, oh no, I'm not going to continue that. This is what I've been taught. I'm going to follow this. That's what everybody did in my family. Let me just do this. Or he can choose to do the right thing. And that's thankfully Saul did. He chose the right way. And because of that decision, we are learning and speaking about him today. So that's the free will. So Jesus revealed the truth to him, but did not force Saul. Saul, in his free will, made the right decision. So it is up to us as well. If we are going through any difficulties, if you're going through any struggles, or maybe you feel you're not enough, you don't fit in the family, in your society, in your with your peers, you feel rejected, unwanted, worthless, whatever is going on, today again, Jesus can highlight, can set us free, but he also gives us a free will. So you can choose to remain a victim, feel sorry for yourself, end up and live like an orphan, or you can choose to feel victorious, because this is who we are. We are not victims. We are not orphans. We are children of the Most High God. And he has paid us with a high price. He died. He gave his son on the cross so that we can live and live our life to the fullness, not just barely survive. You may find it difficult to think like, oh, it's easy for you to say that. But you need to know that with Jesus, all things are possible. And you're not on your own in this journey. because God is with you and God will see you through.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Lifeline Church. We hope this message has been an encouragement to you. We are a relational church who live to demonstrate God's love to one another and our surrounding community in real and practical ways. We believe that this love can restore our families, our friendships, our communities, and our nation. We'd love to connect further with you, so please visit our website, lifelinechurch.co.uk, or interact with us on Facebook at lifeline.church.uk.